Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 496. Science Faction, I call BS.
It's an honor. It's just an honor to be accepted, to be on the same field as some of the other greatest scientists the world has known. Back before the world ended.
Yeah, Dr. Troy, Dr. Ava, Dr. Nick, Ian,
and Damien now. And now Damien. I've been on the same stage as them.
Yeah, as a loser, though. As a perpetual loser. Oh, actually, that reminds me. I have an apology to make. From last I Call BS episode, we totally missed something. I blame Damien for it.
Yes, but my victory.
We totally missed something, which was I absolutely owe an apology to all the fans. Because as fans pointed out to me later in the week, Damien actually made numerous Happy Day references during that particular episode, nullifying, I don't know how many correct answers he got, maybe
it's
one or two.
It's not true, I listened to it.
He got two to three correct answers, I'm not sure. But the point was that the Happy Days references, which were blatant and disrespectful, as fans' words, not mine, they obviously disqualified him early on. So again, I would like to apologize to the fans for Damien's continued...
Show me the emails.
Tomfoolery. All right.
Show me the emails, God damn it.
Let's get right on. I call BS.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
I call.
Ring, ring.
I call BS.
By the way, I think it'd be a real funny. This is us pulling back the curtain for a second. If at the end, if let's just say I score perfect, I lose because this episode had Happy Days references into it, even though you're the one who mentioned them and brought them up.
That's right. You did contest them. All right, article number one. An analysis of an 1,100-year-old skeleton from Hampshire, England, showed evidence that the ancient teen girl having been carefully cared for in the dying process, including the administration of painkillers to make dying more comfortable. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is absolutely science. We Britishans, especially those of Hampshire, we specialize in curating the dead and providing comfort. She was no doubtedly provided with the finest boiled meats and the warmest bland teas, and of course...
The driest of humor.
Indeed.
I'm sorry, Damien, this one is bad science. It actually showed evidence that her nose and lips were cut off and then she was scalped.
Oh, I see. She must have been Irish. I see. That's yes. That is another thing that we do in Hampton.
Mm. A Manchester fan, I see.
Yes, really. You simply do not show up sporting a Manchester shirt.
Let me ask you a quick question. How do you think you die when this happens to you? If you get your lips and your nose cut off and you get scalped, how do you think you die?
Blood loss? That or asphyxiation with blood just trickling down your throat?
Yeah, it's the second one. Your nose bleeding has so many arteries that it fills up your, like... airways quicker than you could clear it out, and you die of that, which would be like crazy to think of, where you're like, hey, I got scalped and that's the second worst of my problems right now.
Yes, we British people commit terrible atrocities despite our lovely accents.
We don't know why this is. It could have been a community punishment. It could have been a punishment for certain religious or social transgressions. We don't know because we don't have that information. But it is also a really interesting story that I think is undertold in archaeology.
Serving Arizona iced tea.
When we're talking about archaeology, a lot of people imagine making this discovery out in the field and like you bring it into the lab, you're like, oh my God, I just changed history and blah, blah, blah. But a lot of things are like this. This thing was found in the 1960s during construction, tossed in a drawer in a museum, and literally never looked at. We know it was never looked at because the dirt was never cleaned off of it. Meanwhile, some guy in like 2018 is opening drawers, opens this thing up. He's like, what the fuck is this? Starts dusting it off. And he's like, wait, look, there's evidence of mutilation here. They do some DNA testing, carbon testing, everything. Like, what's interesting is so much of archaeology is the discovery of cool shit we didn't know we already had in the museum or the lab until somebody looks at it carefully enough, or we come out with a new technology like DNA or something that allows us to look differently at it.
Wait a second, what is this doing here? When I gave this to the authorities of the British government, they assured me it was going to be looked at by top men. Oh, crap.
Article number two. A new behavior was observed in the small banded kukuri snake, allowing the young offspring of its prey to escape while hunting the parents. A move thought to help seed the ecosystem with more prey for the snake in the future. Damien, is this science or bad science?
It sounds to me more like the Native American legend of Johnny Snake Eagle. who was an eagle who went around planting snakes around the countryside.
Now, is that actually an old Native American legend or an offensive stereotype / bizarre story you have created yourself?
I think you know the answer.
I think I do, too. You didn't say science or bad science, though.
I thought I was going to be disqualified for that answer. Okay, then never mind. I will just say that is science.
Sorry, Damien, this is bad science. Though a new behavior was observed by the small banded Kukuri snake, sawing open the skin of its victims on the stomach with its teeth in order to get its head inside the prey and begin eating its organs while the animal is still alive. So this snake, we didn't just discover the snake. We had known it before to swallow prey whole and things like that. But what they saw it doing is, and this was discovered, by the way, by two children walking down the street who happened to be the children of like environmental researchers. And they found this specific type of toad with a snake sticking out of it. And the toad's jumping around and the snake's flailing around. And they realize that the snake is eating it from the inside. And they begin observing these types of toads. And they think it's doing this because this specific type of toad has poison glands. And so instead of eating the whole toad like it would normally and dying from the poison glands, it's cutting a hole in the toad's stomach, putting its head in there and just munching away, kind of like Han Solo with the Tauntaun, like cutting it open and just like pulling shit out to put Luke in there. It's like it just sticks its head in there. Imagine if a snake cut you open, stuck its head in, and just started eating your organs from the inside.
And the snake would say, "Damn, and I thought he was sexy from the outside."
Do you think a snake's first instinct when it's eating your organs from the inside is to count its sexual attraction to them?
No, I think it's going to be suppressing its sexual urges, which would be flooding it. I mean, this is time to, hey, you can fuck something later. You're a married snake.
This proves that Mother Nature is like the jigsaw guy, but with way more time and resources on her hands. Like, she comes up with, like, just the most devilish punishments you could possibly imagine.
It seems like an advanced technique, slicing open the toad, then jamming your head in there. And yeah. I saw the picture of the toad. It was a sizable creature.
Yeah. Just a step away from us, Damien. Just a step away from us.
That's how I eat my steak.
All right, article number 3. A new study of the giant shark Megalodon indicates that one technique it likely used to get so large was an unusual amount of maternal care for the young shark pups once born. Damien, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. I think we've all heard of the tiger mom, but have you heard of the Megalodon mom? She is a hyper-aggressive, very not nurturing mother who, of course, gives birth to huge baby Huey children who take out her rage on the rest of the world.
Also, she eats whales whole.
I believe it's actually the mascot of the state of Arizona.
Oh, no, you're thinking about the Arizona meth moms. That's a very different one.
I've read the book. I'm an Arizona meth mom through and through.
It's an SUV heading to soccer practice, but like the tags are expired, the passenger side mirror is broken off, and there's like smoke and vape juice coming out of both the passenger and driver side windows.
It's noon and the kids aren't in school, like, yeah. And they're just waiting in a hot car. Like, free state-sponsored daycare. God damn it.
One of the kids is driving, because mom's wasted. Meth mom. I really think we should pitch this as a mascot for a community college in Mesa, Arizona. Like we should put together.
We found that colleges rate very low in terms of popularity of the voters here in Mesa, Arizona. So we've tried some community outreach with our mascot, Meth Mom.
Their mascot should either be Methy the Meth Mom or DMX. Because, like, he's running around Arizona, too. So just, like, it's just him, too. It's just DMX. It's, like, him with a gun and a chain and a cop is dragging him away.
He's become a desert person. Good for DMX.
Yeah, he will give it to you. Damien, this is indeed bad science. They actually think they were able to get so big because the baby shark, the first one to hatch inside the mom, and the way, by the way, these kind of sharks work is, yes, they have eggs, but the eggs hatch inside, so technically they are, in the end, giving birth to live young, but they have a bunch of eggs inside them, and the first one to hatches, looks around, and then eats all of the brothers and sisters as they are hatching, thereby leaving only the Highlander baby shark to pop out. Now, this is something that we still see in the relatives of Megalodon, including great white sharks, and even, by the way, the relatives of Megalodon who are now not predators. They're basking sharks. They, like, go around with big mouths open and get krill in their mouth. Even they do the same thing when they are born. They eat all the other babies in utero with them, and this gives them a giant advantage because they basically come out of their mom like jacked, ready to go. They're already the hunters. They already know what to do. They've got a bunch of nutrition in them. They're fattened up and big, and they just pop out ready to go. And they think with like this was one of the techniques Megalodon used to get to a, like, unbelievable. When you look at the sizes of Megalodon, and we're finding more and more that it's actually bigger than we thought. When you look at the sizes of this thing, it's hard to believe that a fucking predator, a giant shark, could be this large.
If an Arizona meth mom is pregnant with twins, something similar happens.
Yeah, but one of the twins statistically belongs to DMX.
But you'll have to prove it in court because he is not returning calls.
Move, judge! Get out of my way!
I don't understand that reference. I'm lame.
All right, and article number 4. A new breakthrough may save us from plastic waste as a new enzyme cocktail has been discovered that can break down plastic 6 times faster than the best enzymes currently known. Damon, is this science or bad science?
This is bad science. I think you're playing the factor of 10 game. I think it's actually like 6 and then a made up number like hump billion.
Tell me, how much is hump billion?
It is as many zeros as Wilt Chamberlain has notches on his belt. So it's whatever, okay. It's a number that floats with whatever Wilt Chamberlain. And by the way, he's dead now, so that number's locked into place. That is forever.
You don't know that. You have no idea. Like, you could still fuck a corpse. I will I will suck Wilt Chamberlain's dead cock tonight to prove you wrong.
I'm Googling. It looks like we're going to Arkansas.
Come in, I'm renting a backhoe.
Oh, to fluff you? Oh, I see what you're talking about. You don't need to be fluffed. He just needs to come. Not you.
But, whoa, wait. You have some very sexist ideas of what sex is, sir.
You are assaulting a man's corpse.
You can't assault a corpse, first of all, because the whole thing of assault,
Your Honor.
Assault is you. It's not even you hitting somebody. It's somebody thinking you're going to hit them. That's literally what assault is. Battery is actually getting hit. So, like, you can't assault somebody because assault is basically the knowledge that you're about to be hurt or hit, and you can't have knowledge of that if you're dead.
I'd like to invite Wilt Chamberlain's ghost to take the stand, Your Honor.
No, that's you're calling irrelevant witnesses. I would like the ghost of his penis to take the stand.
Okay, that's a distinguished penis in a suit. Makes its way up the aisle.
Of course he would. What else would he be, racist? All right, anyway, Damien, this is indeed science, and what amazing news. So this addresses PETs, or polyethylene terephthalate, which are like those single-use bottles, like things like, you know, if you buy a Coke or a water bottle or something like that, it's in elements of things like carpets and clothing. We talk about microplastics in the ocean, and they take hundreds of years to degrade. Now, a group of researchers developed what was called PETACE, P-E-T-ACE, or basically an enzyme that dissolves PETs. That would take that down from hundreds of years to literally, like, sometimes a few days or weeks or something. That same group just published new research that showed that when they combined their PETACE with another thing, MHETACE, it actually made the process 6 times as efficient and fast at breaking that stuff down. Now, what's going on here is you're essentially throwing a bunch of plastic into a vat of bacteria, and this bacteria is secreting these different enzymes. We are then finding those enzymes by looking through a whole bunch of plastics and finding what works and what doesn't, and then we can synthesize those enzymes, either using that same bacteria or modified versions of the bacteria. So we are breaking down plastics to its fundamental elements. The reason that's so neat is I want you to think about plastics in the future as being a really efficient way to package things. Like right now, they're horrible. You use them once and they stick around for hundreds of years. That's horrible efficiency. But in the future, you're going to unwrap that box. Like you're going to go to the store, right? And you're going to buy a new computer or something. You're going to take it home. It's going to have a box. You're going to unwrap that box. If it's made out of these PET plastics, you're going to put it in a digester. That's going to get broken down to its fundamental elements. And then your 3D printer is going to use that to make your next dinner plate or whatever the else fuck you're making with the thing. The point of the matter is having a plastic that you can break down to its fundamental elements and then rebuild indefinitely, which is essentially what this is. It's like putting water through the evaporation cycle. You never run out of water. It's just in different forms at different times. If you keep doing that, you essentially have this commodity that can be wrapping paper. It could be machine parts. It could be toys. It could be, you know, the curtain hangers or something like that.
That left.
Yeah, it could be, well, it would be a bad batleth. Plastic doesn't make good batleth material, as the old saying goes.
I just need to cram it into an enemy's skull. If it just needs to kill one enemy, and I don't care if it breaks.
No, I need to stop steel-bladed weapons, so I'm not going to be able to do that. But regardless, this is how you can see this as more of like a constant recycle economy where there's no such thing as a bottle used once and then thrown into recycling. That would be a dumb thing for you to do, because then you have to go out and buy plastic to put in your 3D printer. Better instead to have this thing that can be broken down, redone, recreated, then you turn it into something and you send it as a gift to somebody, and then that person, when they get tired of it, instead of throwing it away, they break it back down and they make it as part of an interior molding to their headliner that fell off on their car or something like that. So you could see how it just basically becomes this commodity that circulates through the economy as opposed to like a production, use, throw out, and then deal with the trash, which is what it is now.
I like the idea of a plastic baron, like a plastic magnate. Yes, I'm the Rockefeller of plastics. I cornered the market. Through a topple of governments.
I'm going to say that guy has way more of a Jersey accent. The plastic baron. Like, he has to sound like he has to either sound like he comes from New Jersey or he's trying to pull a Nigerian phone scam on you. Like, it's got to be one of the two. It can't seem like above board in the slightest.
Yeah, my Nigerian accent is problematic. Let's just stick with New Jersey guy.
Yeah. You know what I was just thinking the other day is like how hard it must be if you just lived in New Jersey to deal business with like physicians or tax professionals, because you'd come in and they'd have the Jersey accent and you're like, did you really go to med school, though? Like, is this like, really? Or like, because you sound dumb as fuck.
You say, we'll do a best med school in all of Kazakhstan. And you're talking to fucking Sacha Baron Cohen, and you don't even know it.
Thank you, audience, for coming back for Science Faction 496, where you learned all about an 1,100-year-old skeleton from England that did not have a good death. A new and terrifying behavior of a snake eating its victims from the inside out while they're alive. A new study indicating that Megalodon made its size possible by eating its brothers and sisters. And an exciting new discovery in recycling plastics. Thank you so much for joining us, and come on back next week for Science Faction 496.
Nigel, you know what they say about the girls from Hampshire, don't you? They don't have any scalp, nose, or lips. Ghastly creatures. Large bosoms, though. Large bosoms. It's kind of a wash.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.